Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the, ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello. Happy election day.
I know. Welcome to our very special election day flight. We were, you know, we did this intentionally. I know we normally release on the first, but we felt like this was the correct way to do this episode. But
And
I'm
if you
Alana
have
Ray.
not voted, please go out and vote. Your vote matters. Your voice counts. Like, go out and vote today.
Yes. You could even ask for a provisional ballot. They'll give you a receipt and it'll be fine. Like, if you don't have a ballot, please, please, please go vote. It's very important.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, y'all probably know who we are, but I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama Jay.
And before we get into our very topical topic this week, Mama, what are you drinking? And do you have any what the ill moments?
Well, I'm at my office today, and so I am drinking a Dutch Bros Annihilator Freeze and getting my sugar boost for the afternoon.
Yum, yum.
I know it's really good, and yeah, totally wanted something sweet, so I'm in a sweet mood today. And yeah, my what the ale is actually election related, because I spent my weekend with my very best friend in the whole wide world, who we're celebrating 29 years of friendship with a little
Oh,
weekend getaway.
incredible.
Yeah, but he shared with me that his entire neighborhood, somebody broke into all of the mailboxes and stole all of the ballots the day that they were sent out. And I mean, like, he has a locked mailbox on their porch, and somebody broke into the locked mailbox and stole the ballots. So all of the ballots in their whole neighborhood got stolen the day they were delivered. So somebody knew when they were going to be delivered too. And so they all had to do like the provisional. He got his receipt that his ballot was accepted, but they all had to do like extra work to vote this year because some asshole stole all of their ballots.
Again, so fucking crazy. Like, what people?
And I mean,
People.
knowing Portland tends to, you know, turn the state from red to blue, like we can guess who stole the ballots or who is, you know, which side stole the ballots.
Yes.
But yeah, very sad that that's happening. Can't we just all agree that everybody's vote matters? And let's have a fair election, y'all. Why do we need to do that?
No, exactly. I mean, there's no reason to, I don't know if like saying like turning ugly is like the right words, but yeah, like just being ugly about it. Like it's an election, get over it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
Yeah.
it's very important to vote. I'm not saying it's, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just, yeah.
So what are you drinking and any what the ale for you?
So I am off work, so I am having a beverage, but I'm actually having a Cycling Frog seltzer, which has THC in it, so not alcohol.
Okay.
But
Very cool.
but it's very yummy. And yeah, with the ale moment, this goddamn daylight savings, y'all. I need to go buy vitamin D supplements because wow, the sun went down at 3. And or like 3:30-ish, and I said, "This is not for me." So,
Yeah.
yeah, I need to go buy vitamin D supplements because I am already feeling the like, "Ugh, it's winter and gross" vibes
Yeah.
over here in Boston. So,
But it's so funny because we were both like, we really want the fall weather. But yeah, the
yeah,
darkness, we could do without. I love the fall weather. I love the changing of colors.
yeah.
But yeah, it's hard when it gets dark so early.
Yeah, I think my main, like, you know, it's not fun walking around in the cold and the ice, but like that was so much more manageable to me than the darkness. I just,
Yeah.
I'm like, I have to photosynthesize. I can't be in darkness. So,
Yeah.
definitely struggling a little bit with that realization that that's happening.
You're
But,
probably not alone in that. So,
oh no, my roommate and I talked about it for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
but yeah, anyway, I guess we should get into our topic this week, right, Mama?
Yeah. Do you want to
Well,
introduce?
Yeah, I can introduce. So we were like, November election, important things, what's something interesting we can do that's like historical or related to elections. So
But
we
also kind
decided.
of fun and lighthearted because we all need a
Yes.
lighthearted moment today.
Yeah, I think all of us are needing some lighthearted moments. So we decided to cover the ghosts of the White House, which for folks who didn't know, it's hella haunted.
Yeah. Well, and
So.
I was gonna start, by just talking about a little feline that is known to haunt the White House. And this little demon cat tends to hang out in the basement. But people say that, she's not seen, or he or she or whatever it is not seen all of the time. But people say that, she appears to be like small kitten-like at first, and then as you get closer, she gets a little scarier, seems a little bigger, seems a little more creepy, demonic kind of vibe. But she's not seen that often because she tends to show up when there is something bad that's going to happen. So she showed up, like examples would be right before the stock market crash. She showed up before Lincoln's assassination and before Kennedy's assassination. So, she shows up for some big things, but isn't there all of the time.
I heard that she showed up when they got bin Laden too.
Maybe, yeah. So, but yeah, so it's interesting. She shows up when there are like major big events happening.
Makes me think, is she like the Mothman of the White House?
Yeah, see, I don't know. Could be. And then is it a warning or is it she's creating something? I think probably a warning.
Hope it's a warning.
Yeah.
Well, I hope everyone in the White House this week is not seeing a demon cat. We don't need to
Yeah.
see a demon cat. I think we're all just like, let's keep it chill.
Yeah, we don't need any insurrections. We don't need any assassination attempts. Let's keep
No.
it chill, people.
Yeah, let's just like love each other, you know?
Yes.
Don't give the demon cat a reason to come out. Well, that's hilarious. I love that
Yeah.
there's a demon cat. Well, my first ghost is kind of starting out at the very beginning, or not very beginning of the White House. I mean, 1901 to 1904 is not the very beginning of the White House, but like much earlier than we are right now.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah or Jerry Smith was working at the White House during the Ulysses S. Grant administration in the late 1860s. He was a footman and was a foot, he was a footman originally, but also served as a butler, cook, doorman, and was the official duster of the White House until his retirement 35 years later.
That's a long time to work in the White House. He must have seen
Yeah,
some things.
I know. Or like just like the people you got to meet. Like I feel like there's
Yeah.
always like cool people in the White House, even if like,
Yeah.
there's not
No,
much
he probably
happening.
knows all the tea.
Oh yeah, he's probably like the guy, he probably holds court in his little bar and
Yeah.
is like, do you want to hear what they said today?
Yeah.
But he was a very popular character. He was a storyteller, and apparently reporters would count on him to like spill the tea on a slow news day. So
Oh,
you're right with
really?
the like he would know the tea. But he claimed to have seen the ghosts of Lincoln, Grant, McKinley, and several first ladies in his time at the White House. So
Wow.
he is someone who definitely, I mean, he was there long enough to see a ghost, I think. So that makes
Yeah.
sense to me. But
But yeah, so he's somebody that reported on multiple of the people that we're gonna cover throughout this. Huh.
So I
Okay,
think
very
that's cool.
cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, and this is a little known spirit, and apparently it's an unidentified 15-year-old boy that sadly people refer to as Thing, which I kind of think is awful.
That's so mean.
I know. And so, but I'll tell you the story of the Thing. So
Okay.
apparently, President Taft saw this 15-year-old boy ghost, and it frightened him. And President Taft's military aide, Major Archibald Butt, if I could say that, Major Archibald Butt
I love that name. I
is quite
really
a name. Doesn't
do.
it sound a little like Dr. Seuss, though?
It feels Dr. Seuss or like Scooby-Doo. Like, it just doesn't
Yeah.
seem like a real name.
Major Archibald Butt. Okay, so he wrote to his sister Clara, and the what he wrote in the letter was, the ghost, it seems, is a young boy about 14 or 15 years old. They say that the first knowledge one has of its presence, or one has of the presence of the thing, is a slight pressure on the shoulder, as if someone were leaning over your shoulder to see what you might be doing. President Taft then ordered Butt to tell the White House staff that the first, all of the staff, that the first member to repeat the stories about the thing would be fired. So, he had written this letter, and then Taft was like, oh, no, we're not talking about that. If anybody else talks about that, they will be fired. So it seems like Taft must have also known that it was, that the little boy had been seen and people were aware of him. But yeah, that was wh where the name the thing came from, because Taft said any member of the house that was to repeat the stories of the thing would be fired. So keeping
That's
ghostly
crazy.
secrets.
I mean, honestly though, I feel like there are some people that are like, we're just not going to talk about it. We're not going to
Yeah.
acknowledge it. We're not going to talk about it. Like, I think so that is like a very superstitious thing people do where
Yeah.
they're like, we don't want to acknowledge this is happening.
Yeah.
So I
Well, and
could see
maybe he
that.
didn't think people would believe it, and he didn't want to look crazy or his staff to look crazy or something. But
Yeah, that's true.
yeah, so I don't know if it was a just keeping up with appearances or not wanting people to know to freak people out, or I don't know. But he was going to fire anybody that talked about it.
Wow. Well, that is, in my opinion, a little bold.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're moving on to the third president of the United States, founding father Thomas Jefferson. We don't like Thomas Jefferson in this household. Anyway. He was the president from 1797 to 1801. Obviously, he was the author of the Declaration of Independence. He was the first Secretary of State. Fun facts, him and John Adams both died in 1826 on July 4th, the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So, fun facts, very cool things. But he was 83 years old. And he had various ailments as he was getting older, but he mostly struggled with urinary issues and kidney problems. Some people do claim that they hear him playing his violin in the yellow oval room, which I'm not sure where that is. I don't know what that room is for, but that's
Yeah,
cool.
it seems, because I was trying to figure that out too, because there are several, like the red oval room, the blue, whatever, and I'm like, it's not all the Oval Office and they just repainted it, and so then during that time it was the yellow Oval Office, or
Well, because like every president gets to design the Oval Office.
yeah,
So, like, isn't tight,
bless
maybe.
you.
Blessing myself, ridiculous behavior. But yeah, it could be. I don't know. I wonder, maybe if any of our listeners work in the White House, let us know because I'm
Yeah.
curious. But people will also hear him stomping around and cussing, which I think is
Yeah, it does seem like he's very fiery. Like, if he doesn't like what's going on, he'll let you know.
All right. Well, friends in the White House, don't piss Thomas Jefferson off, just whatever that means.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Now, Dolly Madison was wife to James Madison, who is the fourth president. And she believed in something that we need now. She believed strongly in bipartisan cooperation. So she would host these parties where she would invite members of both political parties and try to role model socializing amicably. And even if you have differences of opinions, like, let's come to the table and let's talk and be respectful to each other, which again, I think we need a little bit of that right now. So, and her husband, James Madison, was the one that succeeded Thomas Jefferson, but apparently Dolly had also organized and planned many of Jefferson's parties before her husband was the president. So she was like a force in the White House for many years.
Well, and I do want to say, I mean, based on Hamilton, Jefferson and Madison seem to be friends. So I don't know, but based on the Broadway show, I could assume they were probably tight.
Well, and I didn't know this about her, so it was kind of fun learning this too, because I'm all for women's empowerment. But she was apparently one of the first president's wives to create an important role for herself.
Oh,
So,
cool.
like, she was one of the ones that was like, the women that are married to these powerful men should have a role. Like, we should take up causes and we could find a sense of purpose outside of just being the wife. And so this was before the term First Lady was being used. That was a name that came after her time. But yeah, she was one of the first of the president's wives that wanted to take on important roles and causes. And
Cool.
so yeah, so she, she did that. Part of it was doing this to try to bring people together and start respectful conversation. So I thought that was very cool. And she was also an advisor to her husband when he was in office, which I
Oh
think is very
wow.
cool also.
I mean, I love it. I love it so much. Go
But one
Dolly.
of the things that Miss Dolly Madison did was she created the beautiful Rose Garden at the White House. And I should have written it down, but I didn't. But later, there was another first lady who wanted to change that and take it down and do something different. And Dolly Madison was like, "No, ma'am." And so she is seen guarding the Rose Garden. And once her presence was known and people were seeing her clearly upset that they were going to take down the Rose Garden, they changed those plans. And but that's where she's seen. She's seen walking the garden, protecting it, making sure nobody messes with her roses.
Well, I love that. Because I don't know. The Rose Garden is beautiful. Like, why would you take it down, in my opinion?
Well,
Like,
and
I think.
roses smell good, and they're, one of my favorite flowers. They're bright and colorful, and yeah. So, but I love that. That was something that she did that she's like, "No, you're not taking this back. This place brings joy, and I'm keeping it."
Yeah. That would be me if they tried to take down my favorite Mexican restaurant as a ghost. I would like stomp around in the Mexican restaurant, like, no. Or something, I don't know. The cracks also must be protected, Mom. Anyway, well, moving on. We're getting now to Stonewall Andrew Jackson. So he was the seventh president from 1829 to 1837. He had the nickname the King Mob, I guess, because he wanted to host the public in the White House, which is kind of interesting, like thinking about how hard it is to even go in the White House now.
Yeah, I was like, you can't even get near it now.
Yeah, like you can't just go to the White House. But apparently it was very quickly overrun and there was a lot of damage done to the furniture. So maybe not a great idea. I feel like especially if you're not a popular president, like not a good idea.
Let's go out to town halls for that.
Or ice cream parlors or something, I don't know. Anyway, so our family, I will admit, he's also not we're not a fan of him in our family, because he started the policy for Native American removal, and decided that the president could negotiate treaties to buy tribal land, but they were really just forcibly removing people from their land and putting them in reservations. Our tribe, which is the Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma, was one of the tribes that was caught up in these unfair land agreements. But enough about that. Not that I don't want to downplay that. That's terrible.
We're just not fans, but
We're not fans. But anyway, Jackson died of congestive heart failure in June of 1845 at the age of 78. And supposedly, he's often seen lying in his bed in the Queen's bedroom or the Rose Room. People will also hear a guttural laugh coming from that room, and that's been heard from the 1860s, so 15 years after his death. Mary Lincoln did claim to have heard Jackson stomping around and swearing. And then Harry Truman wrote to his wife saying that Jackson woke him up in the middle of the night, and Dwight Eisenhower also reported seeing Jackson's ghost. So
So
We
he's
do.
another one stomping around and swearing, though.
You know, I just feel like these, like back in the day, the only thing to drink was like beer and whiskey. Like there
Yeah.
wasn't, you know, I don't know, maybe he was just like drinking his whiskey and like, meh.
These powerful men sure love to stomp and swear.
I know. Could you imagine if we just started stomping and swearing places, Mom?
See, we would be called emotional, Alana.
No, we would probably be tried for witchcraft and hung, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we would be seen as hysterical and put into
Oh,
asylums.
yeah, my favorite. We'd be asked if we're PMSing.
Yeah,
Anyway.
so I'm gonna bring us up to the ninth president of the United States, William Henry Harrison. And he was a military officer before becoming president. He served in the presidency from March 4th till April 4th of 1841, which is the shortest in the or the shortest presidency in US history. So he was only in office for 1 month.
Why did he die?
So he was the first president to die in the White House. He died of pneumonia.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So he was like sick when he got
He
inaugurated?
must have been because he died a month after being sworn in, died of pneumonia, and he is said to haunt the attic space. And at the time, we had no plan for succession. So we had no, like, America had no plan for what happens if the president dies while in office. So his death is the reason why we had to come up with a plan since there is no policy in place. And that will lead us up to our next ghost, Alana.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into John Tyler. So he, of course, was the vice president to William Henry Harrison, and upon his very untimely death, became the 10th president of the United States. John Tyler really is only seen in the blue room of the White House, and he's seen proposing to Julia Gardner, who would become his second wife. So
Now, I think that's sweet.
that is cute. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, be proposing to your girl. Be in love.
I know. See, I would much rather somebody proposing to their wife and I'm like, oh, that's a cute moment, than seeing a demon cat. I would much prefer this.
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't want to see the demon cat.
Yeah. Well, I'm just not a cat person anyways, but I'm also not a demon person. So, it doesn't work for me either way.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good plot, a good time, a good plan.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna bring it up to Abigail Adams. She was the wife of the second president of the United States, John Adams, but she was also an early advocate for women's rights and was an advisor to her husband when he was president, which I think is cool. Again, when women are like, hey, my opinion matters too, and they have husbands that will listen to that. So a famous quote that I love of hers was found in a letter she wrote to her husband when he was in Philadelphia, and it read, "Remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power into the hands of the husbands." Which, holler girl, like, good for you to tell your husband, do not just like give the men all the power, listen to us too, do better than the, people of our past. So I love her as a human. And she was actually the first lady to reside in the White House in 1800. And she was always known to hang her laundry in the East Room, which the contemporary staff say that they can smell the wet laundry and the scent of lavender. And they believe that's a sign of her presence because that's where she would hang her laundry. And I also think it's interesting that she did her own laundry as the president's wife, but
I don't know. I mean, I think about like, remember when like Michelle Obama's like first book came out and she was like,
yeah.
the first time I got to make like a BLT in my house, I
Yeah.
felt so cool. Like, because
Yeah.
it is like, I don't know. I couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't be unable to make myself a grilled cheese sandwich without someone watching me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would hate to not be able to cook for myself or do some of my own chores or. What reminds me of coming to America when they're like wipers? Yeah, sometimes you want to be able to do some things for yourself.
Yeah, boundaries, please.
Yeah.
No wipers here. I also was Googling because I misremembered. I thought Abigail Adams was the one that saved a bunch of like cool things from the White House during the fire, but it was actually Dolly Madison. And
Oh, was it?
I
Okay.
looked that up because I was like, didn't Abigail Adams do something cool? And I was wrong. It was Dolly Madison. So sorry, Dolly, I misremembered that. But yeah, she like apparently saved a bunch of priceless paintings and
Very
like
cool.
jewelry and stuff from the White House when it was burning down in 1812. So
But I love
another.
that the both of them so long ago were fighting for women's rights. And, you know, now we have a president who wants to, or, you know, somebody running for president who wants to take it all away. But that's neither here nor there. But I love these two women. It sounds like they were really trying to do good work.
Gosh. I like strong women. I think women are so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on, our next ghost is actually an unnamed British soldier. He's believed to have perished during the War of 1812, and he roams the White House grounds holding a torch. So a lot of people think, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe people, especially because he's holding a torch, is it like, did he set the White House on fire during the war and like all the stuff that went down?
And I feel like I've heard two different, like that there could have been two different soldiers. One of them that was like carrying a torch and seemed to be looking for something, and one that was like somebody who lit the White House on fire. And so, because I feel like I've heard two different accounts of that. So I don't know which one he is. But yeah, I think that's a thing. I think you're right that he was maybe one of the soldiers that set the White House on fire.
Yeah, I feel like that was a thing because I know that's timeline wise would make sense, but
Yeah.
anyway. Who knows? Maybe a historian will know better than I do.
Well, and that's the hard part because he's unnamed, so we may never know.
Yeah, that's true. Wouldn't it be cool to be able to just track them down? I don't know. Anyway,
Yeah.
okay, David Burns is our next ghost, and he fought during the French and Indian War in 1754 to 1763. When we say Indian, we mean Native Americans. That's the name of the war, sorry. But anyway, farming was actually his primary occupation, and he owned a ton of land, but he sold it to help develop the city of Washington, D.C. And the White House was part of where the Capitol Mall is. Or what am I saying? The part of David's land that the White House sits on is, you know, obviously was his land, but it's also on Capitol Mall. So people often see him or hear him in the yellow oval room. I've also heard that people like hear him being like, get off my land or like get out of here.
Really?
Yeah,
Well,
I've heard
I'm sure
people
he
just
made
don't
a
like
shit ton of
him.
money off of selling that land for Capitol Mall and for the White House. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he did okay.
I really hope they paid him well, because that would kind of suck to like be like, I have my land and my farm, and then the
Yeah.
president be like, please move. Let's see.
Yeah. Well, and I'm gonna do two more short ones before you get to our heavy hitter.
Woo-woo.
So Willie Lincoln died in the White House of typhoid fever at the age of 11. Mary, of course, was grieving her son, so she engaged in seances in the Red Room to try to connect with him. And spiritualism was very popular at the time, and she kind of used it in a way to find comfort and get through her grief. But Willie has been seen by staff members of the Grant administration in the 1870s. It
Interesting.
doesn't sound like there have been a lot more sightings, but people definitely had seen him back then and felt like that's who it was.
Wow. I mean, definitely very, just so sad. I mean, I feel like the Lincolns really had a tough go of it. Like, I don't know. Just, I mean, not just because, you know, Abe died, but like, didn't they lose like two of their kids? And then they also, you know, Mary had a lot of mental health stuff. Like, it just, it doesn't, it, they had
Yeah.
a tough go. So it is really sad.
Yeah. Well, and then my last one is Anna Surratt, and she is said to bang on the doors of the White House, pleading to see. This was back when Andrew Johnson was the president, but she was pleading to see the president. But she was there to beg for a pardon for her mother, who was a Lincoln assassination conspirator, and her name was Mary Surratt.
Oh.
So, but it's interesting because, like, it feels like the timeline is off for this one, you know. But because if Andrew Johnson was, what was he, like the ninth or something, and Lincoln wasn't until the 16th president, it feels like.
No, Johnson, you're thinking of Andrew Jackson. Andrew
Oh, Jackson.
Johnson was he was Lincoln's VP.
Oh, okay, got you. Okay, so she was. I was like, that seems weird. Oh, yeah, I was thinking Jackson. Okay, but yeah, so she's begging for a pardon for her mother, and
Okay.
yeah, so that's kind of sad that I don't. You know, it seems like it was just during that period of time that she was seen, but and I don't know how she passed or anything, but that's what the story is.
That's really sad too, though. Like
Yeah.
again, like we talk about this a lot, but like I can't imagine being a ghost and like reliving like my most traumatic moments. Like I would like to relive my happiest moments because
Yeah.
of a ghost. You know, something
Yeah.
like that, like begging for your mom to be pardoned. I mean, that's I get it, but also like maybe don't assassinate the president. I don't know. Okay. Well, speaking of Lincoln, I guess we should get to our heavy hitter friends.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, he is around. He is around. He is around.
And seen by lots of people, right?
Yeah, like pretty frequently too. So for those of you who don't know much about Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. He was serving from 1861 to 1865.
And
He
he's an
played.
Aquarius, and he shares my birthday.
He is an Aquarius who shares your birthday.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
It's a
cool.
day, February 2nd or February 12th. And that's the funny thing. When I was in school, they would always make you like do book reports, you know, when you had to do it on a biography of somebody, and they always had to do book reports on somebody who you shared a birthday with. Back in the day, that was a thing. So I always
I
got
don't share a
to
birthday with anyone important, so like meh. I
Yeah.
was, you know, oh well. But that's very cool. You also have Charles Darwin, so you got evolution
Yeah.
and you got Abraham Lincoln. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I've met like four people who also share your birthday. Like, I feel like February 12th must be a very common one.
It's a great day.
I think so. Anyway, so those of you who don't know, he had a major role in modernizing the economy. He, you know, signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which essentially abolished slavery, and he expanded the federal government. Tragically, he was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth at the Ford's Theater in DC. And Major Henry Rathbone, who was his guest to the theater, tussled with Booth before Booth stabbed him as well. Booth was then tracked to a farm in Virginia and was shot dead. And so now we'll kind of get into some of Honest Abe's hauntings.
Yeah.
So he often appears in the Lincoln bedroom and the Yellow Oval Room. First Lady Grace Coolidge was the first person to see him. And she said she saw him staring out of the window looking at the Potomac in 1927. Then Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands claimed to have seen him as well. Eleanor Roosevelt said that she felt like he would lean over her chair to see what she was working on when she was in the bedroom. I think like her, like she would work there, like that was kind of her
Yeah.
office. And so like when she was working, she said she felt like Lincoln would just kind of like peek over her shoulder.
I feel like there are a lot of stories of him kind of being nosy or wanting to, you know, be in it when like things are busy or things are happening that are stressful. Like he seems to like want to be knowing, you know, in the know of what's going on. And
Listen, he lives for the drama,
yeah,
Mom.
he is not done working. He's like, you know, put me in, coach.
Yes, exactly. Apparently, Eleanor Roosevelt's assistant also saw him sitting on the bed, putting on his boots, and he made eye contact with her, so she ran out screaming.
Yeah, you know, if I had never seen a ghost before and I saw somebody sitting there and then they made eye contact with me, I would probably freak out a little bit too.
I will say, I think I would be okay if I saw a residual ghost, but if I saw a
Yeah.
ghost that was like intelligent and with it and knew I
Yeah.
was there, that would freak me out. I don't
Yeah.
think I'd be down with it.
Yeah.
or like a ghost that tried to talk to me, which we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he was
apparently,
just putting off on his shoes, so maybe it wasn't too terrifying, but it would still freak me out a little bit.
he gets creepier.
Okay.
Apparently, FDR, so Franklin Roosevelt's valet, saw him. And Lincoln called him by his name, which is Caesar Carrera. That's not a very common, I wouldn't assume it was a very common name in the White House in
Yeah.
1865, you know? So the fact that he called his valet by name like 50 years later is crazy.
Yeah, so he knew who he was and everything. So he'd been watching.
That's weird.
That feels a little more stalkerish. Yeah, I won't lie.
Yeah. Well, this obviously freaked Caesar out, and he ran out of the room. Apparently, Roosevelt's dog would also bark because they hear Lincoln pacing in the hall all the time. They hear his footsteps, so apparently his dog would always bark in the hallway. Ronald Reagan's dog would stare up at the ceiling and bark and would not cross the threshold of the Lincoln bedroom. So
Wow.
clearly, animals are with it. Animals are seeing that Lincoln is around and being a little creepy.
I feel like animals always know, though.
They do. Like, it's so crazy. I have a like I was talking to somebody who is like freaking out because like I guess her and her partner are trying to have a baby, so this is like not scary, but like her animals are getting very defensive of her right now, and she's like, "Oh my goodness." Like, animals know stuff. It's crazy. Anyway, wild times. But so yeah, it seems like a lot of people have seen him either looking out the window or standing by the fire or lying in the bed in the Lincoln bedroom. Some have a bit more of an intimate interaction though. So we're gonna get to Winston Churchill. For those of you who don't know, I think he's hilarious. I think
Yeah.
the man has a very sharp wit and says some funny things. But apparently Winston was like, "I'm gonna take a bath." And he was taking a bath while he was the Prime Minister of England. And he got out of the bath to grab a cigar. And as he was walking naked across the room, he sees Lincoln standing at the fireplace. And he just stopped and said, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage."
See, I think if I'm naked trying to get my cigar, which is my comfort item or whatever, and I saw a dead president standing there, I think I would have been a little more put off and like, for him
Like,
to be so articulate in that moment standing there butt ass naked.
why I love Winston Churchill, man. I think he's hilarious.
That's funny.
But apparently Lincoln just smiled, laughed, and then faded away. So I think Lincoln was like, "Yep."
That's so funny. No, I really like I love that, but I just like I would never be with it enough to be that like cool, calm, and collected if I saw a ghost.
Well, and what I wonder too, right? Because like I feel like some people see ghosts and they're like translucent and they're like they look like a ghost or like what people think a ghost looks like.
Yeah.
But then some people like see ghosts that just look like human beings, but they like are wearing period clothing and they're like, "Oh,
Yeah.
that's weird," you know? And so that's like in this situation, I wonder like was Lincoln just standing there like fully like, you know, like human vibes or was he like actually
I
looking
was
like a
gonna say,
ghost?
I mean, from everything I've read or heard, it seems like he was kind of like seemed to be fully there because people don't describe him as an apparition. They say they saw Lincoln,
Well, I mean, we know what he looks like because we got
Yeah.
photos of him. So that's the crazy part too. Like it's just
Yeah, but
very
I feel like
interesting.
when somebody's more like ghosty or translucent or something, people usually say apparition, but they say they actually see him, which makes me think he seems to be fully there.
That is really
I
interesting.
could be wrong, but that's how I make sense of that in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, apparently, getting back into some more of the apparitions of Lincoln or the sightings of Lincoln, I guess, Harry Truman and his daughter both saw and heard him as well. Very creepily, a member of the clergy was awoken one night to see Lincoln kneeling at the foot of his bed, praying with his arms stretched out and his fingers digging into the carpet, screaming, "Help me."
Huh.
So terrifying.
I
Like,
wonder what he was wanting help with, like because of his death or things he was trying to solve for the country or
I mean, I feel like he was the president in a really, really tough time.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, you add in the pieces again of his, children dying and like having severe grief and
Yeah.
everything. Like, I just don't know, but that is
Yeah.
really unsettling to
Yeah.
just see that.
Yeah.
So then President Lyndon B. Johnson's wife, Lady Bird, was watching a documentary about his death when she was in his room one time. And she says she saw him in the room, which, like, that seems disrespectful. You're in his bedroom and you're watching a documentary about the man. Seems disrespectful to me.
Well, but I mean, it is your bedroom now. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I probably wouldn't watch that documentary right then. But yeah, I don't know. But
Yeah.
I, so he seem, does he seem like interested in the documentary?
I don't know, man. She just said she saw him, so I don't know if he was like looking out the window or if he just like popped up. I don't know.
He was probably like, what the hell are they saying about me?
Was like, "That's not me. Like, I didn't do that. I didn't say that."
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah, he's probably fact checking it.
He does seem very nosy.
Yeah.
Shocking. But anyway, lots of other White House staff and family members have seen or heard Lincoln. Apparently, President Harrison's bodyguard kept going out to investigate strange noises and footsteps. He was trying to protect the president, by the way. Like, he was like, "I'm hearing footsteps that shouldn't be here." And at some point, someone just like kind of came up to him and was like, "Dude, that's just Lincoln walking around.
Yeah.
Like, he's just here."
That's hilarious. They were like, oh, you don't even need, just go to bed. That's nothing.
If you hear that specific like walking pattern, that's
Yeah.
Lincoln.
They were like, nothing to see here. Just go to bed. That's
Which
funny.
is like, again, like wild to me that Lincoln's just
Yeah.
out here.
Yeah.
But then Ronald Reagan's daughters apparently could read auras, and so she said that he had a red or an orange aura. I don't know what that means. If anyone knows what that means, please let us know. I'm curious. And then apparently Abe had a bit of some psychic energy, and that he had premonitions of his death. So let's talk about
Oh,
it. So.
well, before you say that, I just looked up red orange aura, and it says it can mean confidence and creative power. It can also, like red energy can also be a healthy ego when it's bright, pure, and good. So creative,
Well,
action-oriented, and positive.
sounds
So
like Honest
that's a
Abe
good
to me.
aura.
Sounds like Honest Abe to me. Cool.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, great. So, getting into his premonitions of his death, which I think is really fascinating,
Yeah.
he told his wife that he knew he would get elected for a second term, but that he would die in office, which he was correct.
Gosh, but like if you knew that and you still decided to go through with it, because that, like, if you really believed that, wouldn't part of you go, should I just get out now? Should I just walk away?
I mean, you would think about that, but then, like, I
Yeah.
also think about people, like, it reminds me, like, very different circumstance, obviously, but people who choose to, like, go to war
Yeah.
or, like, to enlist and, like, aren't drafted, and they're like, "Well, I know that, like, I might not come back, but this is, like, what we gotta do, you know?"
Yeah, well, and I'm sure he knew he still had a lot of good work to do, but yeah, that would be really hard. Like, if you firmly believed that if I take this office again, I'm going to be killed, and you believe that, that would be really hard to commit to then. But I guess that's what makes him a good person, like trying to do the best he can as long as he can.
Honest Abe, man, like, he seems so rad. But apparently 3 nights before he died, he had a recurring dream of people in mourning, and when he asked what was happening, he was told that the president had been murdered.
Wow.
So very obvious dreams there.
Oh my gosh. So those are definite, like 3 days in a row he had that. So those are definite, like, premonitions then.
He also had a dream that he was in a ship alone heading towards what he called a dark and indefinite shore. So,
Oh.
maybe crossing like the River Styx vibes.
Yeah, but he was like, well, it was indefinite because they thought I was leaving, but I decided to stay. He's like, I'm just gonna hang out, you know. I know you
Lincoln
have
was like,
me on the other side, but I'm gonna hang out here indefinitely.
Lincoln said, I'm hanging out.
Yeah. I think that's what made it indefinite.
And so he also had a bodyguard named William Crook, and he had told Crook about his dreams. And Crook was like, dude, like, don't go to the theater.
Yeah.
And Lincoln replied, but I promised my wife.
Oh. What a sweet guy, but his wife probably would have
Like,
been okay. Like, well, I wonder if when she heard that story, if she had regrets about that then. That would be hard to live with.
that
But
would
what
be
a good guy. Good
like,
husband.
what, dude?
He's
Like,
like, me
this
and my wife need some quality time.
is and then while he was leaving to go to the Ford Theater, he said goodbye, Crook. And that was really telling because every night when Lincoln left or went to bed or whatever, he always said goodnight, Crook. He never said goodbye. So the fact that
Okay.
he said goodbye, a lot of people are like, he knew.
Yeah.
So very sad, but Lincoln's around. Lincoln is just, he's got a lot of energy in the White House. I mean, it makes sense, of course. But yeah, I guess that's like the end of our ghosties. But
Oh
what do
my
you
gosh,
think
but
about all that?
well, I mean Lincoln obviously is the fan favorite because it just seems like, you know, I mean, he's not just stomping around in boots and cussing. Like, he's there, like, wanting to know and like wanting to have influence, maybe, or whatever. But, like, I don't know. And he seems a little bit more silly. Like, is, you know, if he like smiled and laughed at Churchill or whatever, I don't know. So, obviously, he's my favorite of the group. But yeah, I think that's interesting. But a lot of these are like, you know, long ago. I mean, he was seen a lot, but I mean, most of these are older. So I wonder if anybody has seen him recently.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to see. I also think, like, yeah, because the most recent was what, Reagan? So,
Yeah.
I mean, there has to have been, I feel like there has to have been a sighting since Reagan, even if they
Yeah.
haven't, necessarily came forward. So,
Yeah.
I will say I did not see anything when I was at the White House. Did you see anything?
No, and we got the special VIP tour because we knew somebody who was working there at the time. So, you know, we got to like see the Oval Office and see the behind the scenes. And at the time, Barack Obama was president. So we got to see all of his family photos in the hallways and all the things. So, you know, we had a wonderful time there. We got to go in the press room, which was really cool. So yeah, I mean, but I was there just like in awe of all of the things, and I really loved the Obama family, especially Michelle. She's my favorite human other than Maya Angelou. No, but I love her. You know, I think she has such a good message and positive messages, you know, that she wants to put out good positive energy to the world. So, you know, I think I was just more in awe of being there at that time when we had our first Black president. So yeah, I wasn't looking for ghosty things really, but yeah, it was a very cool experience to be in that space.
I just remember being so anxious because I didn't like, well, I didn't know where we were going, but I like all I knew is we were going somewhere with a very strict dress code. And I was like, I
Yeah.
have blue hair. I was like, I have blue hair. What are they
Yeah.
gonna do?
Yeah, because you weren't even allowed to wear open-toed shoes, like,
You had to have shoulders covered, no
yeah.
open-toed shoes, no visible tattoos. I mean, it was like strict rules.
Yeah. And I
So.
remember our non-binary child didn't wear dresses or anything like that at the time, and a family member was trying to insist that they wear a dress because that would be appropriate attire for the occasion, and you know, me advocating that they should be allowed to wear pants and what they're comfortable in and whatever. But I remember that being a fight. And so
It
I
was a
was glad
fight,
that I won that argument.
we got them to wear some very stretchy slacks. It was fine.
But yeah, that was an interesting day, for sure. But yeah, I think I was just in awe of the space that we were in. Again, because it was the Obama administration, like, I had such respect, and yeah, I just felt really honored to be able to be there and see the space. So yeah, did you have any ghosty vibes while we were there?
No, but I think it's like one of those things, like we've talked about this with just being in DC. Like sometimes you're just there and there's energy and you don't know what it is, but you're like, this is just like profound.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, I'm not, I don't like, I like history. I don't really care about all the,
Yeah.
you know, monuments and stuff, but like there's something about like being at the Lincoln Memorial and like sitting at the top of the steps and looking over the mall. Or there's something
Yeah.
about like, I don't remember what the hallways, that like outdoor hallway that they always show, you know, where the presidents are walking and the Rose Garden's right there, and you can see, you know, the
Yeah.
monuments over there, in the National Mall. And like all of that, just it feels very, it just feels profound to be
Yeah.
there. Like I don't know if I necessarily got like an energy, but like there is an energy, you know.
Yeah.
So
When I know we both got a little emotional at the Martin Luther King monument.
yeah, MLK for sure. I yeah, MLK for sure. And then the for those of you who haven't gone, I highly recommend going to the African American History Museum. It's
Bring
great.
your tissues.
Bring tissues. Oh God. Do upstairs and then go downstairs. Don't go downstairs and then go upstairs. Believe me, you'll feel better. But yeah, it's just a very emotional, I mean, because of, you know, the history of racism and slavery and things in this country. But yeah,
Well, and the
no, just
honest history without underplaying it.
yeah, honest
Yeah.
history without underplaying it and being very, they were very intentional about what they did in that
Yeah.
museum, and I really appreciated that. Because some places, you know, kind of are like, but racism's over now, and we're like, no, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I found odd when I was traveling over the summer was we went to the museums at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and I was shocked that there were so many people in the museums that were like taking smiling pictures in front of different artifacts. And I mean, it could be like the clothes of a child who, was devastatingly murdered during the bombing. And people would take smiling pictures in front of these things. And I'm like, why? I just don't like, to me, it feels disrespectful, and like I took pictures of the monuments when we were outside just because I want to remember them, but they weren't selfies with my smiling face in the frame. It was me going, I want to honor this monument, and I want to remember what happened here. It just, I don't know, me and my middle kid both felt like it was a little disrespectful.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Like I remember I was at the 9/11 memorial one time and people were
Yeah.
like taking smiley selfies, and I was like, it seems weird to be at the World Trade Center and like
Yeah. I mean, other than the monuments outside, I didn't take pictures of anything in the museums because you're seeing all of the really sad stuff that's very hard to see. And I mean, I cried through most of the museum. I was tearful throughout. But it was just odd to me that some people like weren't really letting in what had happened and how awful we can be to each other. And Pearl Harbor, I know, is a thing too. So like I'm not saying one way or the other, but like as a human species, we need to do better to take care of each other. But yeah, I don't get the smiling in front of these devastating artifacts. You're supposed to let it in, like that we need
No,
to do better.
yeah, I remember when I was at the Holocaust Museum in DC, there were these, it was like a young couple, and they pissed me off. I just like let them like walk into another room before I continued, because like they had like the like cabins that like the people in the camps would be living in, and like they would have audio of people talking about, you know, what they saw or experienced or whatever. And you're just sitting there, and like this couple was like taking lovey-dovey selfies and like
Yeah.
laughing in the corner. And I was like, what? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like
Like,
in
why
the
are you
Holocaust
here?
Museum.
Yeah. Why are
Like,
you here? Well,
yeah.
and then, like, in Japan, there is this one, I don't know, it's kind of like a mound. It's covered with grass now. And I totally am going to get the numbers wrong because I don't remember, but I feel like it was something like 10,000 cremated remains are under there.
Oh, wow.
And then there's like, I don't know, some kind of little statue at the top of it, and I stood there and, because you can, give your little coin and do a little prayer. And I did that to be respectful of all the peoples who lost their lives that are, their remains are there. And there was a couple, but a woman that like stepped over the little fence thing. You know, I mean, it was a tiny little fence, but like wanted to like take a picture like laying out on this mound. And like the tour guide was like, no, like, and stopped, you know, but she was gonna like lounge on this mound of people's remains and take a picture. Her husband was taking the picture. And I'm like, who the fuck does that?
That's
Like, these
crazy.
people's
That's like
remains.
people that like touch like marble sculptures and stuff. I just don't understand. Like,
Yeah.
be respectful.
Yeah. But I was glad the tour guide saw it and stopped it because I was pissed. I was like, you do not do that. But yeah, that's just my rant about people need to be more respectful of the monuments and tragic, you know, when we're studying the tragedies of the world, you know, being respectful of the place that you're in or the lives that were lost or, you know, the treatment people received or whatever it is, you know, but we need to be more respectful.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just because you're on vacation doesn't mean that it's a vacation. Like, you should not treat it like you're
Well, if
on
you're going to
vacation.
those places, you know, just be respectful. That's all.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's my rant for the day.
It's okay. It's a rant I agree
Humans, y'all.
with. Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks for bearing with us, friends. We hope you like this flight. Please self-care, do what you got to do with this election. I know lots of emotions are high right now.
Yeah, you're doing Disney movies, right? When yeah.
Yes, we are having maybe a massive slumber party with like 15 people.
Wow.
We're going to watch Disney
Yeah, I'm gonna be at home, but I'm gonna like only let myself check in every couple of hours. I'm gonna try to like do things in between. This is a big one, but yeah, gotta do
Yeah.
lots of self-care tomorrow.
I
And
want them to
probably the
have.
days following too.
No, I know. Well, because of all the mail-ins. I hope Steve Kornacki can just make me feel hope the whole
Yeah.
time.
Yeah.
He's been thought out. I know he's around.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, anyway. Just take care of yourselves, friends. But I guess we'll talk to you with our next regularly scheduled episode. But if you do like this episode, you can follow us on Instagram at whatthealpod. You can also send us an email if you want to like connect with us at all, which is whatthealpod@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon page with lovely bonus content, so feel free to check in there. And outside of that, I guess I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
I appreciate you too, baby. Go out and vote, everybody.
Yes, and we appreciate you, friends.
Okay,
Bye.
bye-bye.